Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 9, Edmund Burke. Let us have introduction about the Edmund Burke. Edmund Burke, 1729 to 1797, is considered as the most important conservative political thinker that England has produced. Conservatism as an important political ideology began with him, in the same way as liberalism began with John Locke, 1632 to 1704. Though there is near unanimity about his brilliance, there is no consensus about him in terms of political categorization. Berlin, 1969, described him as an ultra-conservative, while O'Brien, 1968, viewed him as a liberal and Lurist opponent of the French Revolution. Lasky, 1920, called him a liberal because of his sympathetic attitude to the American Revolution and the Irish question and his criticisms of the British colonial rule in India. Some saw him as a progressive conservative, for that supported political and economic progress within the framework of England's established institutions. Cremick, 1977, described him as the grave digger of the Enlightenment for his virulent anti-criticism and disembodied patriotism. Burke's thought is difficult to categorize. First, he showed no clear preference, for he had both liberal as well as conservative tendencies, which became evident in his support to the American Revolution and his opposition to the French Revolution. Second, Burke was a prolific writer. In his long career as a parliamentarian, and therefore most of his writings were situational and could not be considered as well formulated political theory texts. His most important political tract emerged as a reaction to the French Revolution of 1789, providing that there exists a clear relationship between crisis and significant developments in political theorizing. Though his fame rests mostly for his critique of the French Revolution, there were other concerns in him as well. The next topic is restraining royal authority. In the tradition of Byngism, Burke was a vocal opponent of arbitrary monarchical power and patronage. However, he was also conscious of the importance of the institution of monarchy as a natural attraction for obedience and reversion, and that it also strengthened the principle of continuity. But these positive aspects were minor compared to its important role in developing a mixed and balanced government, for which it had to be streamlined. In developing this theme, the influence of Richard Hooker, Locke, and Charlie Lewis de Secondar Montague were apparent. Burke was an admirer and defender of the British Constitution, as he believed that it adequately ensured good government, order, and liberty of its people. Now, the next point is Ireland. Burke stood for the Irish cause, though expediency and the interest of a successful political career compelled him to sacrifice theoretical consistency. Furthermore, his open and public stand was cautious compared to his private correspondence. But in spite of this limitation, what was understandable because of the prevailing mood and consideration for his political survival, he always emphasized the desirability of the emancipation of the Roman Catholics of Ireland. He also spoke of the inevitability of the Irish emancipation. Next topic is East India Company. For about a decade, Burke spoke extensively against the oppression, exploitation, and misrule in India by the East India Company. There is nothing more noble in Burke's career than his long attempt to mitigate the evils of company rule in India. He criticized British rule in India being an old civilization, much older than Britain. Its traditions and customs were to be respected. Interestingly, Henry Sumner, Maine, used these arguments to challenge John Austin's theory of sovereignty. Burke's interest in Indian affairs continued with his primary initiative in launching impeachment proceedings against Warren Hastings in 1787. He challenged Hastings' assertion that it was impossible to apply Western criteria of authority and legality to Oriental society. The proceedings continued for 8 long years, though in the end Hastings was acquitted. Next point is American colonies. Burke championed the cause of American colonies. In the midst of emotional and angry debates like the right of parliament to tax colonies and the right of resistance to American settlers, he lifted the entire controversy to a different and a higher level altogether. He refused to analyze the problem from the point of view of abstract rights and raised some very serious and fundamental questions, which were reiterated in the course of his critique of the French Revolution. Furthermore, he charged that the British policy was inconsistent and emphasized the need for legislative reason. Here we want to wind up this lecture, and thank you so much for your attention.